Amen. It's good to see everybody out there. The house group meeting, today for in October, the 24th of October. And so I would just like to thank everybody for coming out. And also like to thank Pastor Peter last month. Pastor Peter from Hyderabad, India, was with us. And I really thank God that God sent him by. Because he came by at a very, very important time in my life, because Pastor Peter spoke a word when he shared at the home group meeting to enable me to walk away from $7,000. Wow. Can you believe that? I walked away from $7,000 as a football coach. There was a lot of terrible things going on the field, and I just couldn't be a part of the lack of leadership and lack of integrity. If I would have stayed as a football coach, I would have got $7,000 at the end of the year. But Pastor Peter talked on integrity, and God was looking at my integrity. And there's an article I wrote, and it'll be out really soon. But anyways, I just thank God for Pastor Peter to come by. So Pastor Peter, when you hear this, I thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 47. Now, number 47 means we've been doing this series for 47 months, because we have a meeting once a month, and so this is less than 47. But as we do as a custom, we like to look at what we looked at last month, that way to get our heart and our spirit kind of in motion again, and so that the Lord would share with what he would have for us. Amen? And so this is called Wilderness Truths for Modern Times. And the Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, okay, good to see you. The Wilderness Truths for Modern Times is taken from the 13th chapter of Corinthians, where Paul encouraged the church at Corinth to learn the lessons of the children of Israel as they exited out, so that they would not make the same mistake. So the church at Corinth would not make the same mistake that the children of Israel made. And we know that they did, amen, unfortunately. And so as us and for us, there are lessons in the Bible and there are truths in the Bible that we can learn from the children of Israel as they went through those 8 wildernesses there, and so that we would not follow after and make those mistakes. And the wilderness, when I talk about the wilderness, I talk about the wilderness being a place of difficulties. It's a place of bad situations. It's a place that if we look at it, we say that this is a place of no life. But in reality, if we look at those wilderness truths, if we look at those wildernesses, then we will find that there is a great place of life that God is able to work in our life. In those tough times, in those hard situations, in those areas in our life, we say that there is nothing there for us. There's no life. But I will tell you, it is in the difficult times and in the hard times is where that you will find those wilderness truths. Amen? So there are 4 things that we looked at last month. Amen. Linda, good to see you. There were 4 things that we looked at last month, actually 2 months ago, and we'll go ahead and look at those, and then we'll get into what we will have. Amen. So last month we looked at when in the wilderness, in those difficult times, in those difficult areas, when in the wilderness, the first lesson that we must learn is to follow the cloud. The children of Israel, as they went into the wilderness of Paran, which means glory, there was a cloud. And God said, follow the cloud, and that's all you got to do. He didn't tell them what to do, he just said, follow the cloud. So our first lesson when we enter the wilderness is we are to follow that cloud. We are to do what the Lord wants us to do. Amen? Yes. And the second lesson is to learn not to complain and question God. Uh-oh. Wow. Our second lesson is to learn. That's a process. We have to learn not to complain and to question God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a really tough area for me. And I would think for a lot of Christians, we always like to ask God that proverbial question, why? Well, that's okay. You can ask if you want. Sometimes God will tell you why, sometimes you won't. If you won't, that means you can't handle it. Or that means you're not ready for that answer so that you could go ahead and understand what he's saying. And he doesn't tell me a lot of things sometimes. Amen? The third area that we looked at 2 months ago, and there are certain things in God he can bring to us only as we properly relate to His glory in the wilderness. That's a lot to think about. But there are certain things, there are spiritual things that God can bring to us, only as long as we properly relate to His glory in the wilderness. And that is one of the lessons as we're in the wilderness and we're going through these difficult areas. And one of those things is we have to properly relate to what God is bringing into our life. Let me say that again. For us to be able to function and move through difficult situations and hard areas in our life, we must learn to properly relate to those things that God is bringing into our life. If we do not properly relate to those, then we won't be able to successfully move through those areas. We will get stuck. We will get off track. And God loves us so much, He don't let us pass. Amen? If there's a test in your life, you can bet your bottom dollar, if you don't pass it the first time, you're going to see it again. But it's kind of strange in God, and this is what God showed me, even with that $7,000 that I left on the field there, that the test, as we grow in God, God expects us to learn from all the previous tests, that we have that wherewithal and that understanding, so that will help us to successfully pass that test. Because the longer you go in God, the tougher the test gets. Isn't that nice to know, Gary? The longer you go in God and the more you walk with God, the tougher the test gets and the more subtle the test becomes. I would have never thought God would have used a football team to check out my integrity. That was subtle. But God told me, as we were driving down to Charleston, South Carolina with Pastor Peter, we were going to hand him off to a pastor in South Carolina. God shared with me what all that was going on. And God shared with me He was testing me to see if I loved Him or integrity more. Did I love $7,000 more or did I love Him? Wow, that was pretty subtle. God would never do that, would He? Would He? God would never do that?
Oh, I think He would.
Oh, God will do that. He will do everything He can to conform us into the character and the image of the nature of Jesus Christ. Everything that we will allow. And that fourth point is, wherever certain things must be done in us, we must follow God to that place and respond to Him in that place where He leads us to do the work in us. That is what He desires. Wherever that place is, have it be a physical place or a spiritual place, wherever that place is God has for us, we must follow Him there. We must follow Him there. And then respond to Him in the proper way, so that He can do that work, His work in our life. Wow. That's some pretty tough things to, get our hands around. But anyway, just go ahead and let's look and see what the Lord would have for us today. Wilderness Truth number 47. We see Isaiah verse 43:7. It says, "Even everyone that is called by my name." So everybody that is called by God's name, for I have created him for my glory. You know, we were made for God's glory. Mm-hmm. That's tough. That's a tough statement sometimes. God gets to choose the sacrifice. God gets to do what He wants to do in our lives. Because we have been created for His glory. I have formed Him. Yea, I have made Him. I have created Him for my glory. I have formed Him and I have made Him. Everyone that is called by the name of God, that are Christians, God says, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him and I have made him. Wow. The workshop, amen? The wilderness is God's workshop. God's workshop is not the land that flows with milk and honey. God's workshop, as He works in our life, is not the green pastures. No. The workshop of God is those difficult areas and those hard circumstances that we go through in life. Those are God's workshop. And He has designed it for us. And He brings us into those areas. He brings us into the wilderness so that He can work in our life. Because we are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." That word "them" is those difficult circumstances and all of those things that we don't like, those hard areas, all of those things that we say, "No, no, that's not of God." Well, I will tell you, most times they are of God, and He's just trying to work in our life. I like that word workmanship, because when we lived in Germany, that word workmanship is Bausteller. That's the German word for workmanship, is Bausteller. So I like to read that, "For we are His Bausteller." Wow, we are His workmanship. A church, your ministry, no matter whatever it is not the work of God. That is the result of God working in us. No matter what church you go to and you feed the hungry or ministry or whatever, you travel around the world, whatever, all of that ministry is not the work of God. We are the work of God. As we allow God to work in us and conform us, and He creates us and forms us and does all of these things, then and only then, we can do those things that He wants to do in our lives. For the workman God works on us, and in the piece of the work He has created and He has formed and He has made, in His workmanship, wherever He wants it to be. God gets to design and arrange circumstances and situations in our life. Now that, I mean, for a lot of Christians, they would almost fight me over that. They really would. Oh, no. But I will tell you, God gets to design and He gets to arrange circumstances and situations in our lives, that will be able to conform us into the character and the image of God. God is God and I'm not. That is one thing that I have learned in the last 60-some years of walking with the Lord, that God is God and I'm not. That is a revelation that we all need to come to. God gets to do what He wants to do. God gets to call the shots. God is in charge. God is God, and I am not. We are brought there into the wilderness to see His glory. Who wants to see the glory of God? For the glory of God is not in the fruited plains. It is not in the land that flows with milk and honey. The glory of God here, even in the wilderness of Paran, which means glory, was in the wilderness. God's glory was in the wilderness. We see His glory to relate to it, to learn from it, and above all, to be conformed into His image. We would prefer God to work on us in the workshop and green grass and still waters. Although these have their places in our Christian experience, certain changes into these that are not accomplished in these lovely and pleasant places. There are certain things that God can work in us during good times. But most often, the things that God wants to work in us to conform us to His image of His dear Son happen in difficult situations and very, very tough times. Amen? This is God's goal. It is not to make us handsome and beautiful and rich and famous and all of this good stuff. That is not God's goal in our life. God's grand goal in our life is to conform us into the character and the image and the nature of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's tough. That's tough, because we don't want that to happen. We want ourselves to live, and we want to do what we want to do, but that's the cross that we bear, and that's the cross of our will against God's will. We do not seem to linger long in these pleasant places anyways. No. So when there is a breath in the joy and the strength for soon, He will move us along and yet to another place of growth and development. And these good times that where things are good and everything is wonderful, we just don't seem to last there. We seem to, the next day, we seem to roll into another situation that God would want to in our life. Not much spiritually happens in us in the pleasant places, I will tell you. It is in those difficult areas that God has development for us. The children of Israel followed the cloud to the green grass. The name of the place, here in Numbers is called Hazeworth. Hazeworth. And the stem of this Hebrew word, Hazeworth, which is Strong 2981, means green grass, leeks, enclosures, and others. And of course, that word leeks there refers to the leeks that they ate when they were in Egypt. They always kept saying, "Do we not have the leeks and the melons and all of that stuff?" Amen. In Numbers 11:35 says, "And the people journeyed from." I'm gonna try to say this. This is Kinrahadoba unto Hazeworth. And abode at Hazeworth. Amen. If we follow God, we will follow the cloud into places where we can grow spiritually. If we do not follow the cloud, if we do not follow God's leading, then we will not go to the places where we can grow spiritually. So many Christians go to church and some even read their Bible and stuff, but they do not follow God. They're not obedient to what God wants. And so there's little to no spiritual growth in their life, and they don't understand why they're not fulfilled in their heart. They're not fulfilled in their relationship with their brothers and sisters in church, and it's because there's not that obedience that's in their life. For us to have the right relationship with our brother and our sisters, first we have to have that right relationship with the Lord. It's impossible to have a relationship with your husband and wife if you don't have that right relationship with the Lord. Amen. And anybody that's been married, it's a Christian, they know what I'm talking about. Because we have that relationship with the Lord, then a relationship with our spouse can happen. Amen? To those camping there would have been a most pleasing sight. We don't like to camp in the desert or in the wilderness, but rather in an oasis where there is a carpet of green grass and a fish-filled stream. How long do we camp in the green grass and beside the still waters? Not very long. We must follow the cloud. Numbers 12:16. And afterwards the people moved from Hazeworth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. So now this brings us into the fourth wilderness of the eight wildernesses that the children of Israel, they went through, the wilderness of Paran. A lot was accomplished in the wilderness of Paran. But again, this is the place called glory, and this is the place where the testing and all of these things were given to them, and this was the place where God desired to give His glory to the children of Israel. But you see what happened. They could not receive that glory, as we see later on, as we do more lessons here. Amen. The cloud did not tarry long over the green grass, but moved to the wilderness of Paran. The lush grass must be left behind. Yep. Leaving green grass and entering the wilderness like Paran is most discouraging. Have you ever been there before? When everything is going good, everything is going, and all of a sudden, someone like pulls the rug out. Sister Ann, has it ever happened to you? That's happened to me. I don't know. And it's very discouraging when everything is good and we think everything is going, then all of a sudden, bang, we get sick. Or bang, this happens or that happens. Well, it's during those difficult times, during those situations in our life, that's where God wants us to push into Him, and that's where God wants us to learn of Him, and that's where He wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? At first glance, the wilderness looks like a place of death. Now, I have been in many, many wildernesses in my experiences. I've been in 85 countries of the world, and Karen and I next month will go to the country 86. And I have had a chance to see many, many wildernesses. And if you see the wilderness of the desert, you will swear up and down there's no life. But if you wait and you watch and you look, all of a sudden you will start seeing things move out there in the sand, and there will be great life there. Amen? Everything seems to be to Israel's advantage in this Hayes' work. However, not everything was fine and correct in the hearts of the people. This, in the wilderness of Paran, this is where Miriam, the murmuring against Moses was so strong that Miriam became leprous because of it. Wow. In Paran, this is where this happens. And I will tell you, God has his ways of getting our attention. Amen? God has his ways of getting our attention. And God's ways getting our attention always is after our flesh. I would even say God has his ways of making us cry hungry. I quit. I submit. God has his ways of doing that. We can see where Miriam in Numbers 12 and 10, where we see that, amen. The wilderness is not a utopia as the workshop of God is. In a utopia, people cannot work. In a utopia, God cannot work into his people. The dedication needed to fulfill his purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. But God cannot bring his purpose in us unless he can work in us. Let me say that again. God cannot bring his purpose in all of our lives. We all have a purpose. God cannot bring his purpose to us unless he is able to work in us. That is one of the requirements for coming into the purpose of God, is allowing him to work in our lives. And I can tell you, sometimes it can be a very, very painful process. Adam and Eve, more than anyone else, except the angels in heaven who fell, proved this truth. They did not respond correctly in paradise. Can you imagine that? Adam and Eve was in paradise, but even they, in that wonderful utopian paradise, they did not respond correctly, and they failed. God is looking for a correct response as he works in us. If not, the work will continue, and as I said, it will grow harder and more subtle. The green grass of Hazeroth is desired by all, but does not fully and totally meet man's spiritual needs. The leadership directly under Moses has failed in the green grass. When they were at Hazeroth, and that's when Aaron and Miriam, Moses' brother and sister's sedition, was revealed. Numbers 12 and 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. That was Aaron and Miriam, and he departed. Wow. Now, what's amazing about this was they were arguing over Moses' Ethiopian wife that he had. And that was none of their business. But they were angry with Moses about this. And what's amazing is they carried that sedition, and they carried that anger, and they carried those bad feelings and the anger that they had for their brother through the miracle of the Red Sea, where Miriam grabbed her tambourine and she danced. The horse and the rider, he passed into the sea, and they all danced and they had a good time. But now they're in the wilderness. They're in tough times. God has this way of getting our attention. And then now here in Numbers, God was working in Aaron and Miriam's life and also in Moses' life. And those feelings and those emotions that Aaron and Miriam had was exposed. And God had to deal with him. Aaron and Miriam's sedition. They carried those through the Red Sea. All of the good times, but they were deep in their heart. I will tell you, there are things in our heart that we will carry through good times and bad times. Amen? Amen. Things in our heart. Yes. For each other.
Amen.
Things that we have done in the past, failures, victories, we will carry them in our hearts until we allow God to work in our heart.
all those bad things that we think no one is seeing. They're there. And we will carry them until we allow God to work in our heart and just take those out. The workshop of God are not in places of pleasantries where everything always goes well. The potter's will is not always an abundance of money. The anvil of God is not necessarily a state of unfailing good health. Amen? God's work in our life is to kill ourselves. Isn't that nice? God's work in our life is to kill ourselves. It is to kill our selfishness, our self-life, our self-love, our self-centeredness, our self-righteousness, and give us a concern and love for others. Wow. That's what God is after in our life. He is after ourselves. All of those selfish, self-centered things that we have in our life and all those other things in us, God is after that. And we are the ones that must allow God to get us. Because God will break us so that He can fix us. Am I right? God will break us if we let Him. He will break us so He can fix us. And when God fixes us, then He will fix us according to His purpose and His plan in our life. See, we have all the 10 step and the 12 step and all of this good stuff. And all that stuff doesn't work. It doesn't work. We have, you know, we're talking about a drug problem, a drug epidemic in America. Well, yeah, it's not about drugs and needing more police, whatever. It's a heart condition.
Amen.
That's what's going to stop this drug addiction in America. Is allowing God to work in our heart. God has to get a hold of the drug addicts and the drug dealers and break them and then fix them with His love and His concern. Amen? What kind of Christians would emerge from a utopia where there is never a threat, never a valley of the shadow of death? Where there is no battle, there is no victory. If there is no victory, then there is no overcomer. We can't live in utopia, we can't live in a utopia as long as the angels we fell did not. As long as the angels who fell did not be any better for us. Amen. Overcomers are made by those who overcome, not go under, not go around. They are called overcomers because they overcome situations and things in our life through God's power. And there's no victory, as I said. There's no victory. The word victory, the noun for the word victory, believe it or not, is overcoming. They're a synonymous word. Overcoming and victory is a synonymous word. You can translate those words out. But there is no victory, there is no overcoming, unless there is something to overcome. Aaron and Miriam loved the green grass of Abram and much as anybody else. It did not cause them to respond to God properly, but His glory and His beauty, which is Paran, were not manifested through them there. Oh no. And there, at Aaron and Miriam's, God's glory was not manifested through there. Actually, what happened was God smote Miriam with leprosy, and she had to leave because she was unclean out from the camp for 7 days. And actually, God wanted to kill her. But Moses said, oh, no, no, please don't do that. You know, please don't kill her. And God spared her life, but separated her for 7 days with leprosy. Amen? Green grass fades and the flowers wither. But whoever does the will of God abideth forever. Our physical well-being, all the things of this present life, with which God could possibly bless us, these material blessings, all shall fade away.
Yes.
Wow. Everything that we have, everything. And my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn, he died of Merkel cell cancer in 1996. And I remember the thing that everybody wanted. I mean, all of his students that he had, and he had hundreds of thousands of students We all wanted his Bible.
But he was gone, and his Bible was still here.
Wow. I wanted his Bible. I don't know who got it, but I think his wife still has it. But anyways, everything that we have will all vanish away. If we wait long enough, we will see the car God gave us be placed in the junkyard. He gives us another if we're doing his will. All we have today will fade away. Our health will fade away. But the work that we have allowed God to do in us, that is what will never, ever fade away. Everything else will fade away except for the work that God has been allowed to do in us. Everything fades away. Back and forth, back and forth. The passions of the world are always passing away. Nothing is permanent. Nothing here is established except for 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. Not what, but he. He that does the will of God abideth forever. We will abide forever if we do the will of God. How about that? He that does the will of God will abideth forever. Amen. We must release all things that shall pass away and follow the Master. We must not cling to the things of this life. Jesus said, these things do not hold the essence of life. Luke 12:15 says, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Life does not consist of these things of this present world. Although most people, Christians included, suppose it does. God is in opposition to this philosophy. It is always attempting to draw us away from that which is temporal towards which is eternal. Wow. Our life is found only in God. Our life is found only in God and in knowing Him. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life. Who wants to live forever? I want to live forever. Well, you know what? If you raise your hand, you will live forever. Can you believe that? We will all live forever. Everybody in this room and downstairs will live forever. The question is, where will we live forever? Right? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? But our life is not, it's found only in God and knowing Him. John 17:3 said, now this is life eternal, knowing God. Living for our knowing eternal life is not living forever as much as it is knowing God. When we come to know God, then I promise you, you will live forever. Last verse, John 6:52-54, and I really love these verses. It says, our life is to be eternal. And Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, there will be no life in you.
Wow.
Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, there be no life. There will only be death. You will be alive on this earth, but there be no life. There be no life of God in us. We must go after the eternal things and not after the temporal things. Amen? We must allow God to take us to the wood shop. Who's ever been taken to the woodshed? Amen. A lot of kids today don't know what that is, but I can remember my father taking me to the woodshed and getting my attention so many times. Well, that was so good for me, but I will tell you, allowing God to take us to His workshop will do a lot more than taking us to that woodshed. Because if we allow God to take us to that work, you know, that workshop, to that bookseller, and work in our lives, then we will have that life eternal. We will be able to eat of Him and drink of His blood. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just thank You and we praise You for Your love and for Your many blessings, Father, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord, for your word. Father, Lord, I ask that you would take this word and just lay it at our hearts, Father, Lord God. Lord, let us meditate on these words, Father, Lord God, and not cast them aside, Father. But, Lord, let them be a goad to us, Father, Lord God, drawing us ever closer to you. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. We love you, Father, and we thank you, Lord. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.